This is Dave. I'll be reading from Numbers chapter 21, starting at verse 4. The Israelites left Mount Hor by the road that leads to the Gulf of Aqaba in order to go around the territory of Edom. But on the way, the people lost their patience and spoke against God and Moses. They complained, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in this desert where there is no food or water? We can't stand any more of this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many Israelites were bitten and died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Now pray to the Lord to take these snakes away." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told Moses to make a metal snake and put it on a pole so that anyone who was bitten could look at it and be healed. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who had been bitten would look at the bronze snake and be healed.
This is Nina reading from John chapter 3, 14 through 21. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God."
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It was nice to be reminded last week of this reading in Psalm 19, that this reading, that phrase I just said, actually is from Psalm 19. It's part of a psalm we're so used to. As soon as we hear, "May the words of my mouth," we start thinking, okay, this is the sermon starting time. Here comes a sermon, and we forget that it comes from a psalm in a different, larger context. And there are a lot of passages like that in Scripture. They are so common, we sort of forget the context and almost what they mean. John chapter 3 is a lot like that, particularly John 3:16. We see it on posters at ball games and on billboards, and it might be one of the only verses that someone has memorized. When you would take a road trip, do you remember taking road trips? We would stop at rest areas. I know, it's certainly when I was growing up, I'm not sure if it's as common now. And there would be these little books in the bathroom stalls. They'd say something on the front like "believe or die" or "how to go to heaven." And it was, you know, pre-cell phone. So give me something to read for a minute and I'll read it. And it's full of little bullet points about sin and about forgiveness and heaven and hell. And, you know, that was one of the common ways a lot of people heard this kind of language. And teaching Sunday school really helped me further realize that there's a text of the Bible that exists sort of in our common cultural imagination as a nation, sort of a "this is what the Bible said." It's not a written text. It's not the actual text. In my Sunday school class, it would come up that I taught, it would come up a lot as "my friend at church said," "my friend at school said, you know, this is what the Bible says." And it's what many of us have heard sort of preached in the public space, particularly from the loudest pulpits. Or how a public figure might use the Bible passage for a certain purpose. And certainly this phrase in the common cultural Bible, I don't know whether to call it the rest area Bible or the American default Bible, but it's what we're really used to hearing in a certain context. This is the part where everyone who doesn't believe in Jesus goes to hell, right? During the reading from John, I almost wanted to say, stop, don't listen, at least listen with fresh ears. And I think that to listen to it with fresh ears, it helps to think about and focus on what I would call the weird part, which is right at the beginning of our reading. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Moses, you know, the snake, and the snake is like Jesus, or Jesus is like the snake. It's weird to me. And, you know, of course, for John, the lifting up is a reference to Jesus's crucifixion on the cross and resurrection. But the readers of John, of course, would have been very familiar with the story of Moses and the snake that comes from our reading today from the book of Numbers, which an alternate title in biblical, I guess, interpretation history from another text of Numbers is In the Wilderness. And this particular story we heard today was read is called one of the murmuring stories, where the Israelites, the Hebrew people, are speaking against God and speaking against Moses. Now they're hungry, which is a very relatable kind of a thing to be complaining about. And, you know, they say to Moses, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Now, that sounds a little contradictory, and I want to point out again, you know, our default American Bible has a lot of anti-Semitism in it. And I've certainly heard it preached that, you know, a sort of a mocking, you know, of the people. Well, they had food and they just didn't like the food they had. But these are not toddlers. These are people who have been wandering for many, many years in the wilderness. And so they complain about their circumstance. And what comes next are poisonous serpents. And that to me is just terrifying. I almost, you know, sent a picture of Indiana Jones surrounded by the snakes in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, if you remember that, because that is like the most cringy scene. But then I thought, well, why give people bad dreams just to make a point? But it really is horrifying to think about the Israelites being surrounded by these poisonous snakes, you know, on this long journey, already hungry and thirsty and tired and being bitten by snakes. I'm going to have to say this in case there's a fifth grader watching, because as my children would tell me, snakes are not poisonous. They're venomous. We used to have several pythons living in my house, and I asked my son, Max, are they poisonous? And Max said, no, Dad, nor are they venomous. So I don't know. It's translated poisonous. But anyway, dangerous and deadly. And so when the people went to Moses, they said, we've sinned for complaining. Please take away the serpents. So the Lord told Moses to make a snake. And you know, my translation said that Moses made a bronze serpent, and everyone that looked on it after having been bitten by a snake, they were healed and they didn't die. And this is also weird to me. And I'm not trying to say that it's weird. You know, I understand that this is within a context in a different culture and civilization. But to me, it's sort of reminiscent of exposure therapy. Like, you know, you're going to heal people from this terrifying thing by looking at a terrifying thing. It's like if we told people that they were going to be healed from the coronavirus by, you know, gazing on this crochet coronavirus that I bought from Etsy not too long ago. And if you can't see it, it's a 4-inch ball crocheted out of like cornflower blue thread with, you know, red spike proteins. Anyway, it's an odd sort of a thing to think about being healed by the thing, an image of the thing that has hurt you. And so that is where our reading today starts with John, halfway through a conversation with Nicodemus, who's one of the Pharisees. Jesus starts with this image of Moses and the snake. Nicodemus has come to ask Jesus Some questions. He's curious about what Jesus has been saying, particularly about being born again. Nicodemus, and this is right before the passage that we read, says, can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? With a tone that it's preposterous. And now again, remember that default American Bible, I've heard it preached. Nicodemus was just, he didn't understand. Nicodemus was clearly, a leader and a smart person, but it just sounded preposterous. And so, his confusion about the language invites Jesus to make another comparison. And that's when he says, it's just like the story of Moses lifting the snake in the wilderness to keep the people from perishing. I have to be lifted up. And, Nicodemus says, oh, what? So now you're a snake? He understands the type of image that's being displayed here. And it's another way of talking about the freshness and the joy and the peace that comes with Jesus. Eternal life is another phrase that in the default American Bible is often taken out of context. And we need to understand that this is not just Jesus teaching about some kind of redemption from hellfire and probably more snakes. We need to have all of Jesus's message in mind when we read this passage, because, first of all, in our same reading, Jesus said, he was sent not to condemn the world, but to save us. And our understanding of eternal life cannot exclude the other teachings of Jesus. Jesus came and preached food for the hungry, healing for the sick, freedom for the captives, like in this life. So Jesus didn't come just with a story about the future. Eternal life begins now with God. And God doesn't come to send Jesus to condemn us now or later. And so the acceptance and the understanding of God's love, can't be used from this passage, just sort of, go back into my fictional but real default American value into condemning, people for gender or LGBT people, people of color, incarcerated people. That's not the message. The people who are marginalized in this world are invited into eternal life now. We are invited into God's love that sustains us and welcomes us into eternal life. And it begins for us today. Amen.